Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host for the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Adolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, so you remember last week when I signed off and I told you that this shit was just beginning?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, I did not realize how right I was. No, that's Brody. Kobe's the one that ran away. But anyway, point is, in just the last week alone, holy shit!
Yeah.
In just the last week alone, we had Donald Trump basically go on national television and commit the same goddamn crime that he's being accused of. Again. Twice.
And then call people that call him out on it fake news, which is
yeah.
what he does.
We've since had him try and basically screaming into the void to get Representative Adam Schiff arrested for treason.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah. We've had the chairman of the FCC actually tweet out a statement saying that what Trump did is in fact illegal. And that's just the beginning of it, man. Yep. This is literally like new shit every 24 hours. Hmm. It is almost impossible to keep up with. You know, unlike the Mueller investigation, where it seemed like they were stretching that thing out for God knows how long, this shit's been happening at rapid fire.
This is a sprint.
Yep.
Yeah. And, we'll get to more of that. We got a whole segment on it, and it kind of doesn't even begin to scratch the surface, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But amongst other things, we've also got some news about net neutrality. We've got a new resignation from the Trump administration that'll be happening in November. People are scared to death of Elizabeth Warren. A GOP rep just got pled guilty. What did he plead guilty to? We'll tell you. Disney's getting ready to ramp up Disney Plus, and so they're basically banning all of Netflix's shit from their networks. And we got a bunch of other stuff, too. Also, did anybody go see The Joker?
No.
I don't typically go to movies.
Yeah, I didn't go either. But I had some friends go and say it, and they liked at least the first half of it, but apparently the second half gets really too comic booky. But we'll talk about all that another time. Anyway, so with that all the way, we must start, as we always do, with what we have been up to with this week. This week of October 4th, 2019. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So this week I haven't been hacked, so that's been a good thing. But beyond that, I've just been playing a lot of PC Building Simulator, so I don't have a whole heck of a lot to say there, because it's, but talked at length about it. And I'm just waiting for Sunday when Mr. Robot starts up again with its fourth and final season.
Mm-hmm.
And, that show is getting really, really dark. Well, it already did. Now I'm just trying to figure out how just fucked up it ends up at. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the premiere on Sunday and seeing how they work the Trump election in there, because that's they kind of hinted that they were going to. So, yeah, that's going to happen. Not a whole lot for me this week. So, how about you, Pat?
Only one more week left of the Dawn of X miniseries that'll lead to the X-Men relaunch. It continues to be amazing. I'm pretty sure at this point the House of X series that we're actually seeing is going to not be the final timeline that leads to all of the new books, but serve more as a cautionary tale. But we'll see what happens Wednesday, because there is still that one issue left, and it's been sort of highlighted as one of the three real game changer issues. And my God, the other two certainly were. So,
I mean, that's pretty much been every issue up to this point anyway, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, but the on the lists that they included at the end of every issue, there are three that are highlighted in red.
Yeah.
And the two of those that we've already gotten definitely stand out amongst the others. The first one was the Moira reveal. And then, are you caught up yet?
I'm working on it. Okay. But I do have a general idea of where the books are now.
So. You know who the five are?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that was the other one. Whatever we get Wednesday, it's going to be on that scale. So, yeah. And that's kind of where they're going to be dropping the mic for the six books to launch.
All right. Damn. Okay. Well, all right then, Chris, what about you?
Yeah. So this week, saw the temperatures go sky high again.
Mm-hmm.
On the first, it was 91, 92, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Which is not great, especially being fucking October.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be hotter than it is all of September.
Mm-hmm.
Generally. But yeah, today the high was 60, so it finally broke overnight.
Mm.
And I think we're headed towards actual fall weather a couple weeks after technically was supposed to.
Yeah. Just
based on what the calendar says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's 53 right now. It feels like 49. It's like, all right, that's pretty good. After being out in the 90s all week, it's like, But yeah, that's been nice. Been playing some games. Inferno 2, which is a sequel to the first Inferno, which is a game made by Radiant Games.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small developer that kind of primarily focuses on dual-stick shooters.
Mm.
They made a lot of stuff in like Xbox Live indie games and PlayStation Minis, that sort of stuff. And this is like a dual-stick shooter RPG. In a sense. So as you shoot enemies, you get XP for it. And as you reach the next level, you get a skill point that you can put on your tree. There's three different layers of that stuff. One for like general ship powers, I guess. One for your shooting mode, and one for your type of missile you're using. And so you're kind of figuring out ways to spend that stuff. And it seems like it's going to be an easy game to get all the trophies in it, because I think the Platinum has like a 66% earned rate. None of them are particularly hard. It's just like do this thing, you know, a couple hundred times for like firing the missiles. It's like, all right, while you're shooting, you just hold down R2 and you'll be shooting every missile you have eventually as it runs out. And control-wise, it works out pretty well, though there's one weird thing. So on the HUD, you see on one side, on the left side is the shooting mode, which you manipulate by hitting R1 on the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side, on the right side, you see, I think it's the type of missile it is, and that you hit L1. So it's crossed the way it is on the screen, based on what you're hitting on the controllers. So it's been constantly messing me up as I'm like, oh, I got to switch over to this sort of thing. It's like, wait, that's the wrong button. Sort of thing, and you can't change it. So I sent him a message on Twitter being like, hey, this is weird. You should probably add an option to swap controls. And there's no like control map you can see in the game in the pause menu to be like, okay, what does what sort of thing either. Like, it's a very simplistic options, just like music, sound effects, and I think language options, and that's it. But yeah, like the other than that stuff, it's been pretty good. It's like a $5 game, so it's not exactly going for anything too groundbreaking here. But it's pretty good for what it is. Been doing some streaming this week. Kind of my work schedule's just been getting in the way of that. And as well, Destiny 2 on launch day on Tuesday, the servers just shit themselves all day long. So I was like, we're not going to even try to stream this just in case. But Sunday I played Untitled Goose Game, which is a lot of fun. And it might be a bit of a different game than what people might expect. It is like a stealth adventure game, essentially, with some Metroid elements to it as well. So when you come upon, when you first start, you're like in the lair of the goose, I guess, like this area off in the woods where you can see it's like you've stolen a bunch of shit and just thrown into this hole. And so you kind of make your way out as you're learning the controls and all that. Which worked out pretty well for the most part. And you get to this little pond, I guess. I guess it's like a pond with like a bunch of rivers coming to it, I guess. And this takes place in England because it is a very British game. You come upon the first thing is like a farmer who is, I wouldn't really call him a farmer. He's a guy that has a bunch of flower beds and grows a bunch of stuff like cabbage, pumpkins, carrots, flowers, and some other stuff. And you're kind of given a list of goals to do. So it's like, hey, grab his rake and throw it in the lake. You know, there's a picnic blanket hanging out there by the pond. It's like, get these like 6 items. And so you're going to have to sneak in and steal them, because if he sees you doing it, he's going to want it back. And like the radio is one of the things you have to get. So you have to, if you pick it up, it starts blaring music. So you immediately have to figure out like, you can like pick it up and I think run it into the water and it turns off, because you just short it out. Not permanently, but just for a little bit. And I think what I figured out to do is it's sitting on top of a cooler. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to drag the cooler the entire way. I just have to drag it around these raised flower beds he has and try and create distractions in other parts of that little area to get him focused on other things as I steal it out of there. And you kind of got to do a lot of stuff like that, like figure out ways to manipulate the AIs that are walking around and get them focusing on other things, because they can forget about things they've seen and want if you distract them with more important things, some stuff like that. But it's a lot of stuff like that. And so, yeah, eventually the way every like scenario ends is you anger them enough that they put up a no goose sign somewhere on their property. Which is sort of how you open up the second area. Is he's trying to bang this sign into his in front of his fence, I guess. I don't know why he's putting it in the fence, because you're a goose, you can't read the sign technically, and it's not like it's at the back of his like property, so it's not like it's in a place where you're going to see it technically. But yeah, as he's about to bang the mallet on it, you honk and distract him, and he hits his hand and falls over, opens up the door to the next area, and that's kind of your path out. And I kind of keep getting this sort of thing going for each of the different areas that I've been through so far. But yeah, it presents a lot of fun little scenarios. The second area, you can steal this kid's toy plane and take it to this woman who's running her shop on the street corner. And she thinks it's one of her items, so when he goes to take it back, she argues with him that he needs to pay for it. That's like one of your goals, is to get him to pay for something he owns from the shop. It's like a lot of just asshole things to do. And there's just a lot of fun to it. Trying to figure out the different ways to manipulate the AIs and play around with it. And I saw somebody that managed to steal every item, physics item, in the game and throw it into the lake. Because there's like a rivers around, going around through the different areas. So you just drop it in, it'll eventually end up by that pond at the beginning of the game. But the Metroid element is that there are gates blocking your access to different areas. So as you get around, you can open up these gates, so you get like little shortcuts back to the other areas. So if you miss stuff, you can kind of get around that way a little bit more quickly. But that game is a lot of fun. If you're into kind of figuring out how things work and having some fun. The other game I streamed that yesterday is Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Shadowkeep, the new expansion. So there's like two different parts of this whole thing, which is Destiny 2 New Light, which is the new free-to-play form of Destiny 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which is mostly the same as regular Destiny.
Yeah.
They just make the in-game storefront, the Eververse, as part of the main menu system, you can kind of get to it quicker than just loading into the tower and having to go walk over to the Eververse lady to buy stuff or get rewards for leveling up your character.
Mm-hmm.
So they make that a little bit easier, and that's just kind of where that whole thing is. In that area is where you can also see like the different campaigns you have access to. And so depending on what platform you buy them on, it changes. So like on PS4, I have access to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was playing it a little bit earlier on PC, and I just have the default ones that are unlocked, which is Destiny 2 and I think Osiris and Warmind, which are the two year one expansions. Don't have Forsaken or Shadowkeep on PC, so like those story missions, the place where you go to at least start those missions doesn't exist. But you can still go to the moon, and I think I forget what the area they added for Forsaken, but you can still go there and do your typical like open world public event stuff, and bounties and all that. Which luckily, since I played a good bit of it on PS4, I had opened up the ability to do specific bounties for the moon. So I was doing some of that stuff earlier. And it all works out pretty well. The campaign itself for Shadowkeep is kind of timely. They delayed it 2 weeks to release in October because it's kind of a bit of a scarier kind of campaign. Where essentially some shit has gone down on the moon. Eris Morn, who is the woman who has the weird blindfold over her eyes and is like bleeding darkness, or like crying darkness out of her eyes, whatever, under the mask. She has discovered some shit's going down on the moon, and you're kind of investigating that. And what you kind of find is that there's this like nightmare thing that's going on. It's like somehow bringing back like notable bosses and mini bosses back to the moon. So when you go to that, it's like, oh, here's the Omnigol, which is the guy that you, if you played the original Destiny, you fought, and some other bosses so far that I've been fighting. There's like I think it's Oryx, the son of Crota, which is one of the big expansions for Destiny. That was the first one you fight as you sort of realize some of what's going on here. And that fight's pretty cool because they, at a certain point, they just start spawning in all the enemies and overwhelming you as you get teleported out back to Eris Morn, where she is at. That's a pretty cool fight because it's like, oh, this my special is doing 5% damage to this guy. This is not going to go well, sort of thing. And it's like, okay, this is just all set up for that. But yeah, it's a fun game. Still fun. They've made improvements on things, simplified some systems, and fleshed out some other stuff. They have a new. If you buy the Shadowfall, you get access to like the year one content and all that, as well as they have like a battle pass for this now, which gives you various items and currencies and such as you level it up. And that's basically you get that stuff for just doing anything in the game, completing bounties, multiplayer matches, campaign stuff, all that feeds into it. So like I've just done a couple missions and all that, and I'm like level 3 already. So it seems like it's not like Fortnite or PUBG or that sort of stuff where they give you all these specific missions that you need to try to do during matches. There are bounties that are like that, but those are more, those aren't really tied to the battle passes in the way that Fortnite and PUBG kind of like change how you play the games on a weekly basis for that stuff. This is more MMO-like where it's just like, hey, get, you know, this many kills in Gambit matches today, or, you know, do all this other stuff. Or if you don't want to do that, you don't have to. It's not forced upon you in any way. Yeah, so far been pretty good. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that, but, yeah, it's the game is now free to play, so really there's no real barriers anymore for people checking it out on any of the platforms. And as long as you have your console accounts attached to your Bungie account, you can kind of move around pretty freely outside of just if you want to do the campaign missions. That's the only place where it's not really freely movable. But other than that, it's been pretty good. They just, the weird thing is they didn't add any new like achievements to this for the new expansion. Forsaken got some, but this one hasn't. I'm guessing that's because they want everybody to do all the in-game stuff and not focus on like trophies or achievements or any of that stuff. Which was weird when I signed in on Steam, it just unlocked all the stuff I already had on PSN.
Mm.
So I was like, all right, you got 7 achievements in 1 second. That sort of thing. But yeah, that's been all right.
Mm.
How about you, Brandon?
All right. First and foremost, I'm still playing Control. I've now gotten into like the latter third of the game, which means it is now stupid hard. And this is one of those games where you absolutely want to know where everything is at any given time. Because I don't know if any of you guys, if you ever played the Uncharted games and remember at those points where it would suddenly, like, the place would be just filled with enemies, and it was sometimes really difficult to sort of take stock of where every enemy is and where they're located. Yeah, I'm running into a lot of that right now.
Especially because you got enemies that can fly.
Yeah, and not only that, but there's also these one enemies that, as long as they're still alive, all of the other enemies' health will keep regenerating. And
no, you got those assholes.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, there's also the enemies that are otherwise pretty quiet, but they're armed with an RPG with heat-seeking missiles that can, like, take off over two-thirds of your life with one shot.
Yeah. As you do.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? And, of course, there's also, like, the stronger enemies that have, like, a psychic shield that you have to get rid of before you can actually start hurting them. The good thing, though, is that by this point in the game, you are very much, you have sort of bound yourself to various objects of power. So now you can do things like telekinesis, you know, pick up shit and throw it at them. Flight, well, I say flight, more like floating. You can do that. You can basically get a bunch of rubble and create like a shield around yourself. So there's stuff like that. Which does make it kind of easier, and you'd be surprised just how strong the damage it can do when it's flying at someone at like 30 miles per hour. But yeah, it's I still really like the game, and I've been wondering I'm wondering if parts of this game were rushed a little bit, because I noticed this, and I think I said this back when I first talked about playing this game. There's some graphical issues here and there where textures take a little longer to load than the rest of the game. And I'm starting to wonder, you know, I've been told that that was kind of an issue with Alan Wake as well. So I'm wondering if it was just because they were on a deadline, or maybe it's just because of the localization that they were doing to the PS4 version. Because from what I've heard, this is only a problem in the PS4 version.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's because it's their first game on PS4. Their engine didn't have as much time to mature the engine as they did on like Xbox and PC, where they've made games there for a long time.
Yeah, that's probably true. But this game gets really fucking weird at this point, because now you're starting to like encounter these various objects that like warp reality around you. So now like there's like these rooms that like turn into like geometric spirals, and there's this like one thing what's called the ashtray maze, and it's called that because it houses an object of power that is basically just a ashtray with a lit cigarette inside of it, but it creates this labyrinth of like a sort of Art Deco kind of hallway, and it constantly like modifies and morphs around into like all these different ways. Like it'll suddenly close off a turn and then make a new one, or it'll open up and like it'll start collapsing in on itself. All this weird geometric shit. And it's done all. And the thing is, when you first encounter this, you actually can't get through it. It will literally just send you back to the beginning of the maze. But later on in the game, you get a hold of a object of power that I'm guess that is a cassette player. And one of the things about this game is one of the things you'll notice is that a lot of the technology inside the quote unquote oldest house is like really retro, because apparently for whatever reason, when like smart devices and stuff get involved, it starts play the oldest house doesn't like that shit for some reason. So it'll just either not work or just spark and burn out. So one of the things you have to do is get this cassette player and when you get the cassette player, you can actually navigate successfully to the ashtray maze. And they basically use as the soundtrack for this power metal song called Take Control. And once you get through it, the only thing that your character Jesse Fadden says after you exit the maze is, "That was fucking awesome." So, you know, that was pretty neat. Other than that, I've been doing my normal reading, my normal books and shit like that. Nothing really to say on that front. Something else, though, I want to talk about. Everybody knows we're anime fans, more or less. And the way sort of anime has sort of seeped its way out of anime culture and into mass consciousness is a very, well, it's a neat thing, right? So imagine my surprise when I discovered that the People's Republic of China, through funding from their Ministry of Marxism Research, actually started a 7-episode online web anime based around the life of Karl Marx. It's called The Leader. And you can actually watch, as far as I know, at least the first episode entirely on YouTube with English subtitles. And it is meme-tastic, like absolutely. First and foremost, this is one of those anime that uses a lot of CG. And I mean, and if you've seen like the recent Berserk anime, you know what I'm talking about. It's that type of animation. And it's kind of truncated because, again, it's only 7 episodes. And Marx was like in his 80s when he died. So you're kind of putting a lot of events into some like 30-minute episodes each. And probably the reason why this thing is so fucking Bishonen is because they made both Marx and Engels into like super Bishonen. Like, seriously. Now, don't get me wrong. I've seen pictures of what Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels looked like when they were young, and I will openly admit, they were some handsome lads. But there's a limit. You know what I'm saying? But basically, how it works is the sort of whole show, it starts out with Friedrich Engels giving the eulogy at Marx's funeral when he's being buried at Highgate Cemetery. Which, for those who don't know, Marx is buried at Highgate Cemetery, and you can visit his grave anytime you want. And then it goes back to when Marx is giving his graduation speech at his high school. Then it basically kind of jumps around from there. You know, in fact, the actual like opening animation basically shows you like all the major points that involve this story. There's like images of him when he first meets Friedrich Engels. There's images of him when he marries Jenny Marx, you know, his wife. There's images of him when he when him and Engels start writing the Communist Manifesto. There's the meeting of the First International. There's the part where they end up kicking Mikhail Bakunin and his clique out of the First International. There's the revolutions of 1848. There's the Paris Commune, all this shit. And it also doesn't help that the song is like really sentimental and also really fucking awesome at the same time. So Call the Leader, go on YouTube and look it up. It's actually not bad. It's sentimental as all hell, but it's gripping. And finally, best news I can deliver this week. Asshole Summer is finally fucking leaving. Today, it
got
to...
still got drunk Asshole Summer to go.
No, he is actually gone. It got to a high of 99 degrees today, and tomorrow it'll be a high of 87. And then it'll keep going down from there for the next few days. So he's gone. Thank God. Somebody finally managed to push him out of the fucking door. I'm happy. So that's about it. Anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, all right. I watched the new AEW show that's on TV now.
Oh.
That was pretty good.
Also, all right.
It's 2 hours, so it actually isn't full of bullshit for three fucking hours. Like WWE stuff is, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only like weird bit is they had Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes on to talk about their upcoming Jay and Silent Bob reboot movie.
Yeah, well, they're going everywhere, so.
Yeah.
They're actually taking the movie on tour, I've been told. Yeah. Before there's like a major release. But
it's a fun show. It's only 2 hours. It's about the right amount of wrestling, and they don't sit here and fill it up with tons of like story things that don't matter, because I think one of the WWE's, they just started like their new season, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of their first like big story beats from the episode of Raw was essentially that Bobby Lashley was cuckolding one of the main stars on the show. So that's what WWE is doing. Having one of their black men making out with the other guy's white wife. So.
Oh, God. Fucking Vince McMahon. God damn it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. All right. So. With that said, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight I'm going to start off with a quick question to the three of you. When you guys were growing up, did you ever eat TV dinners? Swanson's, Lean Cuisine, Hungry still Man, that type of shit?
Yeah, still do.
Okay. So amongst all of those, you guys sort of have like a general idea of like if you're eating a TV dinner, what's going to be in the TV dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like... And when you're thinking that, what's like the first big thing that you're thinking that's going to be a feature of that TV dinner?
Well, generally, it never looks like it does on the packaging, so...
No, that's true. But the actual food, like what would be, you consider for a lot of times, the main course?
Chicken.
Oh, that's one. Mm. What about another?
Well, the Salisbury steak was always pretty good.
There we go. That's the one I've been looking for. Mm. Salisbury steak. Now, I'm not sure if people know what Salisbury steak is outside of the United States. So, Salisbury steak, for those of you who don't know, it's basically what the FDA calls a fabricated steak. It's when you take a bunch of ground beef, usually the lean parts of the cut or the muscle pulp, something like that, put into, you know, ground up and then formed sort of into a patty and then cooked and served in a gravy made with its own juices, right? Now,
that sounds about like a cover.
Yeah, that's about it. Now, obviously,
sometimes they involve mushrooms.
Yeah, mushrooms will get involved. And, you know, it's a pretty cheap, relatively nutritious meal, if I do say so myself. Now, obviously, when you're, you know, that idea of, like, grinding beef and making it into patties obviously has been around a long time. You can think of stuff like Hamburg steak, beef tartare, that type of thing. But Salisbury steak as we know it today actually got its start in the Victorian era. Now, when you think of the name Salisbury, you think, well, is it from Salisbury, England? Like Salisbury Hill, you know? Yeah. Peter Gabriel did that song. Yeah. It was awesome. No, actually not, because much like graham crackers and Kellogg's Corn Flakes, this is a particular food invention that's named after its inventor. And also, just like Kellogg's Corn Flakes and graham crackers, the guy who invented it was a food woo peddling health nutritional fanatic who had some gobsmackingly unorthodox ideas of what constituted nutrition. So Salisbury steak is actually named after a guy named Dr. John Salisbury. Well, James Salisbury, but people called him John. James Salisbury was a medical doctor, and he actually first started serving as a physician during the American Civil War. And one of the big problems that a lot of Civil War soldiers suffered was, malnutrition. And there's a couple of things that can happen when you suffer from malnutrition. One of them being diarrhea.
Yeah.
And when he tried to come up with a way of like how to deal with diarrhea, he became convinced that he could help them control it if they ate a diet of both coffee and lean chopped beefsteak. Now, considering what the rations they had at the time, that's actually not necessarily a bad idea. Because otherwise, I don't know if you noticed, but your average Civil War soldier, the rations they got was usually stuff like hardtack and, salt pork, shit like that.
Stuff that's not going to stave off the runs.
No. I mean, it'll keep, because, hardtack, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that should last forever.
Oh, yeah. They've been making that shit since medieval times, and I'm pretty sure there's some stuff from the medieval era that you can eat that's actually still edible.
Yeah. And you'll get the runs.
It'll
be total inclement weather, brown rain. Yeah.
So he looked at all this stuff. He's like, okay, so if I can get these guys the coffee and chopped beef steak, and it seems to control their gastrointestinal distress, I wonder if we can spread this out. And so he got this idea in his head that in order for a person to be healthy, 2/3 of a person's diet should be made entirely of meat. And that only 1/3 of one's diet should be vegetables and starchy foods. He actually believed that vegetables and starchy foods would actually produce poisonous substances in the digestive system, and that they were responsible for heart disease, tumors, tuberculosis, and even mental illness.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, the 2/3 meat part, maybe he was a little
bit ahead on.
Yeah, I'm on
board with that.
Because now we have keto, so.
Yeah. So he tried to figure out, develop, what in his mind would be, the perfect type of food. What would be, for this type of diet, what would be, the base food that one could come up with that could serve as, if you have nothing else, you can eat this a couple times a day. So he created a recipe, and the recipe goes like this. Eat the muscle pulp of lean beef made into cakes and broiled. This pulp should be as free as possible from connective or glue tissues, fat, and cartilage. Previous to chopping, the fat, bones, tendons, and fasciae should all be cut away, and the lean muscle cut up in pieces an inch or two square. Steaks cut through the center of the round are the richest and best for this purpose. For those who don't know, he's talking about filet mignon.
Yeah.
Beef should be procured from well-fatted animals that are from 4 to 6 years old. The pulp should not be pressed too firmly together before broiling, or it will taste livery. Simply press it sufficiently to hold it together. Make the cakes from 1/2 inch to 1 inch thick. Broil slowly and moderately over a fire free from blaze and smoke. When cooked, put it on a hot plate and season to taste with butter, pepper, salt. Also use either Worcestershire or Halford sauce, or mustard or horseradish or lemon juice on the meat if desired. Celery may be moderately used as a relish. I love that last part. It's like, you know, it's like, do you want some, would you like to eat a bit of steak with your butter? You know, like that kind of shit. Yeah. And if you're wondering, okay, so what was his, like, recommendations on how much of this you should eat? He said you should eat this 3 times a day.
Okay. Maybe yeah. A bit excessive, but.
Yeah.
That sounds like it could promote the runs as well.
Oh. So Salisbury died at age 82. They don't actually list how he died, but I'm going to say probably something like heart failure, considering how much meat he was consuming. And he's buried at Lakeview Cemetery in Cleveland, Ohio. He is considered to be like one of the first food faddists in American history, along with, you know, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, the guy who created cornflakes, or, Bishop Graham, the man who came up with the diet known as Grahamism, which is where the graham cracker developed from, or the guy who created Welch's grape juice, which, for those of you who don't know, didn't do it because he wanted to make a product, but because he was a hardcore temperance advocate who was trying to create a non-alcoholic variant of communal wine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But those are stories for another day. And this has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Kellogg's one especially. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie, The Road to Wellville. No. But, yeah, that movie is only slightly more insane than the reality. Anyway, so moving on, we'll now start the show proper, and first and foremost, as always, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And our asshole of the week is Amber Geiger, the ex-cop who just got 10 years in prison for invading Botham Jean's apartment and shooting him. Even though it wasn't her house, he was just sitting there eating ice cream, and, well, yeah.
Yeah. And she initially used the, what was it, the Castle Doctrine defense?
Yeah, which is, again, it wasn't her house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it got thrown out pretty quickly as an option. And, yeah, it was good to see her get anything at all, because that's not what happens with a lot of cops.
Yeah.
But this wasn't even on the job, so I think that was what also helped.
Wasn't she, like, loaded and thought she was going into her place?
Yeah,
and
that's what I've been.
I think she was working like a double shift, something like that. Something that she was extremely tired.
So she might as well have been loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Essentially, she, I think the whole big issue was that she parked on the floor above her normal parking spot in the parking garage.
Ah.
So she went to the spot where her apartment would have been if it was a floor below.
Ah.
So being, you know, dead ass tired, she thought it was her own house, even though there was a different placemat out front, that sort of stuff. And she looked in when she went to go shoot him, and should have noticed, like, this is not how my place looks, sort of thing. But yeah. Yeah, people are not happy, obviously, because I think initially it was recommended like 28 years. So she got off pretty light. But also there's something interesting that happens during the, or at the end of the trials, that the younger brother of Botham Jean, Botham John, asked the judge if he could hug her, like offer his forgiveness, and sort of hug her and kind of say, you know, let's see,
I forgive you, that kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah, like if you go with God, he will forgive you, that sort of thing.
And then the judge actually hugged her too, I think.
Yeah, at the end. In the same way, and yeah, she certainly,
she can get parole in 5 years, so yeah, theoretically she can be out in half that time.
Yep. Yeah, it was kind of a strange but interesting trial to follow.
Yeah, because for the first time in God knows how long, a cop actually got punished for killing an innocent person.
Yeah, especially for a scenario where her training should have led her to de-escalate things even though it was her that was escalating things. In a way, it's like, I think her training was also supposed to, like, call back up if you suspect anything, you know, you might be in over your head sort of thing. And see, like, the prosecution also displayed to the jury posts that Geiger made on social media platform Pinterest, including one she saved featuring a Navy SEAL sniper with the words, "Kill first, die last, one shot, one kill, no luck, all skill." So some of that stuff where, like, they were asking her questions very much as, like, you opened that door intending to kill. She's like, yes, she did. So, yeah. That's not very much like it probably wasn't going to be a case where she was going to get off. Just the way she defended herself in this. But yeah. She at least seems to understand what she did wrong. Unlike some cops.
Yeah. All right. So that happened. And moving on from there, we've got our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is none other than Senator Elizabeth Warren. So you guys know who Jacob Wohl is, right?
Yeah.
He's that little pissant who's desperately, desperately wants to be like the leader of his own version of Project Veritas, but, you know, he wants to be the modern James O'Keefe, but is so unbelievably inept at it that every scheme he's put forth has crashed and burned in just the most fantastic way possible.
Yeah. Well, more money than sense.
Yeah. Well, this week he tried to pull one of those on Liz Warren, claiming that she cheated on her husband with a male gigolo, that supposedly she scarred with like a cat of nine tails, and then she had sex with his girlfriend, and all this other really stupid shit. It basically was a shit show from the very beginning.
Yep. There's a lot of shit here that's people knew up front, like, this is going to be bullshit.
Yeah.
Because he put out the big, like, press announcement for this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, it's going to shock the conscience of the nation. Not conscience. Yeah. Conscious of the nation. Like, they had typos in it. They handed out information sheets, I guess, to the people that were hanging around, for those that wanted them. And it has a different age for this guy than what was on the announcement. It said he was 24 in the announcement, but 25 here. Former U.S. Marine Corps guy. And let's see, Senator Elizabeth Warren first secured my services from a website called Cowboys for Angels, a site for attractive young men who provide companionship and escort services for well-heeled women. Says he was hired by Senator Warren from this site on August 7th, 2018. And they kept stressing in the announcement is like a long-term relationship, but it only lasted for a few months.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Like a lot of weird shit. Like everyone's like, my bullshit detector, besides it being Jacob Wohl and this Berkman guy, their bullshit detector was going off all over the place on that thing. But
yeah.
Yeah. Like a lot of stuff here that's just like, she was really into not just rough sex, but extensive BDSM play.
Yeah.
In the early morning of August 8th, before boarding my flight, she messaged me and told me to bring toys. I asked what kind of toys, and she said, surprise me. Which I've seen the joke that she would not just say surprise me about sex toys. She would have an extensive plan on what toys she wanted and what they're used for kind of thing. Let's see. At that point, while waiting to board my flight, I ordered a Hitachi massager and a small tube of water-based lubricant. Let's see, the first of not so but many BDSM sessions with Senator Warren. Like a lot of this.
Yeah, we don't really like, need to go into detail.
And it's like this whole thing. Like, also, it's like saying that
it reads Warren like pervy them, like, fan they were in an open relationship. Like.
So if they're in an open relationship, then it doesn't matter that she slept with a young guy.
Yeah.
And also, like, the scar wasn't from that.
No, it was actually from a chain from, like, a swing set that he was taking down.
Also, he has a XXX tattoo on the back from the movie XXX on the back of his neck. So just in case you want to know what kind of guy this is.
Ugh.
Yeah, lots of other shit that goes with this. The whole event looks so low rent. There's like two boxes of Dunkin' Donuts mm-hmm. on a table near it, as well as the TV that has the image. It says Elizabeth Warren Cougar? Like, yeah. Do they know what cougar means?
Yeah, so those like who don't know what a cougar is, well, obviously. Do I really have to say what a cougar is?
No, but...
It's an older woman who likes younger guys. That's what a cougar is.
But then she responded to this, not directly, but saying on Twitter, "It's always a good day to be reminded that I got where I am because a great education was available for $50 a day or $50 a semester at the University of Houston. Go Cougars. We need to cancel student debts and make college free for everyone who wants it." Saying, like, these guys should go to college and learn some things instead of being dumb pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, with the logo for the Houston Cougars.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
Oh, that was great.
That's the best way to kind of shut it down without directly addressing it.
Yeah,
Dignifying it with a response.
Yeah, yeah. You just kind of trolled it into oblivion.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, is anybody going to take anything that Jacob Wall says seriously?
No, it's more
of really a
particular
shut.
Crowd.
Yeah. It was like maybe 20 or 30 people, and somebody during the middle of it just started blaring music from a radio they had nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just trying to drown them out. And it's like, yeah, you're not pulling one over on anybody anymore, at least.
Yeah. No credibility. Not like you ever had any.
Anyway. God damn it.
Also, the end result of this whole thing is that people think she's cool anyway.
Yeah.
Now they like, just think
there's
she's
no
cooler.
Negative to this unless you're just a very sex negative person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas everybody was like, yeah, get it, girl.
Yeah.
Because she's in her 70s. Like, not like she's got much excitement in that area mm-hmm. going on. Especially now she's campaigning every day.
All right. So now with that, it's now time to move on to the proper show proper, and here we go, folks. Oh, boy. Okay, let's get started with this impeachment shit. Okay, so this week, on top of the shit that he did with the Ukraine, we also found out this week that he actually called up the people in China in June asking them to investigate the Bidens.
Yep. There were, let's see, investigate Joe Biden's son.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah. It says the Chinese officials were kind of startled by it.
Mm-hmm.
Said they have little interest in becoming embroiled in U.S. political controversy. Which, yeah, is the smart move. But fuck off. Then we'll move on to the next thing here, Brandon.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So, oh, God. It's just... So once this news came out, Trump then went on television, national television, and again asked the Ukraine and China to investigate the Bidens.
Yep.
Committing same crime he's already committed twice for a third time on national television, out of his own mouth with his own words.
Yeah, a reporter asked him, like, what he wanted Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to do with regards to the Bidens. Well, I would think that if they were honest about it, they start a major investigation into the Bidens. It's a very simple answer. They should investigate the Bidens. Likewise, China should start an investigation into the Bidens because what happened in China is just about as bad as what happened with Ukraine. Trump added, so I would say that President Zelensky, if it were me, I would recommend that they start an investigation into the Bidens. Any regular person's like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Mm. Yeah. So then we now get to Moscow Mitch, who during his fundraising pitches has been vowing to stop the impeachment inquiry, which, by the way, he can't fucking do.
Yeah, that's
he's
selling
in the
your
Senate,
vote.
The impeachment is in the House.
Yeah.
That too, but it'll eventually get to him, and essentially, the Senate would be judges in this trial that would be going on.
Yeah.
And if they were judges, it would be highly illegal to sell your vote to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
And, like, make your decision up front before you've heard any evidence.
Yeah.
And he's campaigning on this. So, yeah. Basically saying things like Nancy Pelosi's in the clutches of a left-wing mob. They finally convince her to impeach the president. All of you know your constitution. The way that impeachment stops is a Senate majority with me as majority leader. But I need your help. Please contribute before the deadline. This is a campaign video on Facebook.
God.
Actually, we got some more shit for Facebook later on, but yeah, this very much, if there was a way that any sanity could rule, the Democrats should essentially demand that the Republicans recuse themselves entirely because they're all corrupt and involved in all this, and then we could get them impeached and removed in the Senate. So it would be only Democrats.
Yeah.
And so far I've not seen any senators suggesting they would be voting for this. Like Marco Rubio is doing his thing today. He's like, I'm going to work on real things. Like, you don't do any fucking work, you idiot.
Yeah.
Senate hasn't passed any major legislation in a long time.
Yeah.
You guys are just fucking around deciding which items the House passes is going to get anything done. Like, they're not doing any fucking work. So if you see any Republicans in the Senate talking about how they got real things to do, they're lying.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out whose money they want to take.
Yeah.
All right. So, with all that, the FEC chair then came out this week and tweeted out a statement and on what Trump did and declared that, yes, what he did is, in fact, illegal.
Yeah, so this is the thing she tweeted out June 13th. I think it's might have been when initial rounds of stuff going on with China were happening. But she basically writes here, Chair Ellen L. Weintraub, Federal Elections Commission, statement regarding illegal contributions from foreign governments, June 13th, 2019. Let me make something 100% clear to the American public and anyone running for public office. It is illegal for any person to solicit, accept, or receive anything of value from a foreign national in connection with a U.S. election. This is not a novel concept. Electoral intervention from foreign governments has been considered unacceptable since the beginning of our nation. Our founding fathers sounded the alarm about foreign interference, intrigue, and influence. They knew that when foreign governments asked to seek to influence American politics, it is always to advance their own interests, not America's. Anyone who solicits or accepts foreign assistance risks being on the wrong end of federal investigation. Any political campaign that receives an offer of a prohibited donation from a foreign source should report that offer to the FBI. And so she tweeted the other day, is this thing on? And just linked to that tweet. They're saying, hey, you guys should be paying attention to this.
Yeah. It's funny because people are arguing about whether one thing or another is an impeachable offense when what you're really looking at right now is how many of them there are.
Yeah, there's a long list.
Yeah.
Because he could have been done day one if they wanted to.
Anyway.
And we got Twitter shit he's doing to exacerbate things here.
All right. Yeah, so then professional shithead Robert Jeffries, who is Trump's sort of official preacher man, has basically – well, he said a couple of things. Amongst other things, he said that the god of the Democratic Party is Moloch. You guys know who Moloch was, right? Like in the popular imagination. He was like a Babylonian bull god that was used for child sacrifice.
I'm not entirely following the logic.
And then he actually went forward and said that there would be civil war if President Trump is impeached and removed from power. And Trump retweeted it.
He copied it word by word.
Oh, dear.
They're saying, let's see, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats can't put down the impeachment match. They know they couldn't beat him in 2016 against Hillary Clinton, and they're increasingly aware of the fact that they won't win against him in 2020. And impeachment is the only tool they have to get rid of Donald J. Trump. And the Democrats don't care if they burn down and destroy this nation in the process. I've never seen the evangelical Christians more angry over any issue than this attempt to illegitimately remove this president from office, overturn the 2016. If the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, which they will never be, it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation for which our country will never heal. Pastor Robert Jeffries at Fox News.
Yeah.
They have this in out of order. Okay, so this third tweet. Election and negate the votes of millions of evangelicals in the process. They know the only impeachable offense President Trump has committed was beating Hillary Clinton in 2016. That's the unpardonable sin for which the Democrats will never forgive him. So...
Boy, these people have their heads way up their asses.
This is why people should consider evangelicals on the same level as Nazis for dangerous in this country.
Well, you need to understand American evangelicalism is a cult.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is 100% what it is. It is a cult.
Trying to use religion.
Be treated as such.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I am increasingly becoming convinced that after Trump leaves office, there's going to be some kind of wide-scale deprogramming that's going to be necessary.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
Yeah.
Because we've got a whole generation – well, not all of the entire generation, but a massive section of America's populace that has been completely fucking brainwashed by Trump and his goons.
They've been kind of getting that since Reagan was in office.
Yeah, and we're going to need to do something about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm afraid I'm going to have to fucking deprogram my parents after all this shit is done.
Yeah, it's...
And my grandmother, which I really do not want to do.
Yeah.
See, even like, he just gets beaten normally, even by a good margin.
Yeah.
How that's going to be taken, because the way people are at right now is like a huge frenzy of people that just seem like they're, you know, Trump or nothing.
Yeah.
They would be fine with the country being destroyed if Trump is not going to be president.
Mm-hmm. And finally, for the impeachment watch, Trump actually tweeted out a Nickelback meme. You guys know the one, isn't it? What the one it is, right? It's, look at this photograph! You know, that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the photograph that he shows is the one where it's Joe Biden and his son Hunter and some Ukrainian people.
It's not Ukrainian people. They're Americans.
Yeah, exactly. They're not Ukrainians.
No, but they look foreign.
So it's completely irrelevant, but...
And he just posted a tweet. Look at this photograph, all in caps. But now...
You can't find it anymore because Nickelback copyrighted the shit.
The copyright claim in for it. It got taken down.
Yeah.
Associated with that shit.
Yeah, it's... And then in the process also got... see, they got Christy Swanson angry, I guess.
Oh.
She's like, hey, Nickelback, this is such a bunch of bull that you would disable the media on this. I bought your song on iTunes 9 hours ago because I love Donald Trump's tweets so much. I've also always been a fan of you guys. Now I want to return the song and get my nickels back.
And now all of a sudden, I'm a Nickelback fan. So,
which is the greatest tragedy in all this, is brought Nickelback up into the popular culture that nobody was doing before this. Make people think about that. And it's because of an asshole that's found out about this meme.
Yeah.
But also in the process, also brought Chris Novoselic, former Nirvana bassist, to defend Nickelback, which it's like, who is this jerk? Nickelback is a power pop rock band, and I love them. They are Canadians, by the way. The USA can work well because
they're
of the
Canadians and
between
also
socialism and capitalism here.
Yeah.
It's a push and pull, so be wary of those on the fringe advocating one way or another.
Oh,
in response to a Fox News video where they're making fun of Nickelback.
Yeah, for the record. Nickelback is a staunchly apolitical band, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do like to play up the – when they're touring in the U.S. to play up the flag and shit, but music-wise, there is no politics in their music whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know. You really should listen to the song Feed the Machine.
That's an outlier.
Yeah, it's a whole weird situation. I guess the worst thing Donald Trump has done is bring Nickelback back into the pop culture.
Oh, Nickelback's always in the pop culture.
General pop
never
culture,
go away.
Where
it's,
people have to take sides because of political reasons now.
Yeah.
Which is like, you've somehow politicized Nickelback. Whereas we all could could have stood together and hated them. Now it's a partisan issue now, which is the true tragedy here.
Anyway, so that's the impeachment watch. And that's not even scratching the surface. There was a bunch of other shit that also happened this week.
Yeah.
But we'll have to get to that another time, along with all the other shit that's probably going to happen next week. I've had a friend who's sort of started a bet that thinks that Trump might actually resign in November.
This November or next?
This November.
Okay.
I took him on that bet because I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. He is way too much of an ego to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
He'll be removed by gunpoint.
Yeah, and out in handcuffs. Yeah. I think, hope. God, give him a perp walk. I want him to have a perp walk.
Yeah.
I could see him trying to find some way to negotiate his resignation if he gets impunity from the crimes that he's committed in office.
Yeah, and then as they walk out of the door, they say, psych!
Yeah, or like the New York police show up, it's like, all right, we got your crimes over here.
Yep.
Taking you back to New York.
Hmm. Enjoy Rikers, motherfucker. But anyway. But even though that's the end of the impeachment watch, it is not the end of the Trump stories we got this week, because we also found out that Trump has also asked current Attorney General William Barr to investigate Australia's role in the Mueller investigation. We're just playing all the classics this week, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's an interesting remix, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird fucking situation. Basically, what's coming down to is basically the Attorney General, Bill Barr, is not America's Attorney General. It's Trump's.
Yeah.
Turning into Trump's investigator, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which people already knew, but he's just continuing to do this shit. And also just involving private citizens, like his private lawyer,
mm-hmm.
Rudy Giuliani, in this stuff as well. Like sending him to do dealings with Ukraine. And it's like, that's not how that should work. You have ambassadors for that reason.
Yep.
But they got rid of the ambassador to Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
because Rudy Giuliani didn't like him.
Right.
Or her.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows why, because he always seems like he's perpetually drunk.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think he is. I mean, would you be able to get through all this shit sober?
No.
No, but that's also kind of his state of being for the last, like, 20, 30 years.
Point taken.
Because I remember on John Oliver's show when he did a whole thing on Rudy Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
He was going nuts about ferrets when he was just the mayor of New York.
Those
people
that
had ferrets and arguing with them on talk shows. It's like, sure. And also, he married his cousin. That was his first wife, I think it was.
First cousin or second?
His first wife was his second cousin.
That isn't as bad as I thought it would be. Then again, I'm from Georgia, so
yeah. Though the problem is, like, doesn't he have that grandma or that mom that knows everybody in the family, that knows all the links in the tree?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody said, "Hey, why are you touching your cousin so much?"
Nope.
Maybe he doesn't. Hmm. Yeah, that's how that all happened. Hmm. I think the joke John Oliver had is like, why is the families all on one side of the aisle? And a creeped out photographer on the other.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's good. well.
At least we got good news here. Next.
Yeah, we got some good news. We got another resignation coming from the Trump administration. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is announcing his resignation in November.
Hmm.
Yep. And that's one person we've been wanting to get out of there since they started. Mm-hmm. Yes. You'll probably find another oil baron to put in there.
Yes, he will.
Fuck. Maybe he'll get the one guy from West Virginia to try to oppose Mitch McConnell. He ran the coal mine that blew up. I forget his name is. Don Blankenship.
Yeah.
Right.
He has no charisma at all. Because he just speaks in one tone, and they're going to get rid of Cocaine Mitch because he takes all the jobs for his China family or whatever. I don't. John Oliver had a good bit where he's like, he's bringing racism into the 21st century by being weirdly gender neutral.
I'm just like amazed at this point because I mean, you guys have heard the saying rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah.
This is pretty much what's going on.
Yeah.
Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Yeah. Pretty much. Duck,
Goose.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but yeah, that is exactly what's fucking happening right now.
It's like, oh, Rick Perry, you're Goose now. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well.
At least I like the Goose game better than I like any of these Gooses.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one at
could
least,
be worse. All these Gooses could be Canadian.
I've seen some.
That's
good.
Not a slide against Canadians. That's a slide against Canadian geese.
They well, don't, we know our geese are assholes. It's,
yeah.
It's a known fact.
I've seen them in parking lots just walking down the aisles as cars are trying to drive, and they're like, no, we're here. You're not going anywhere. Cars were more important.
Yeah.
Nobody ran them over, so they're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well. Next up. The Federal Appeals Court decided to uphold the Federal Communication Commission's net neutrality repeal, but they are allowing the states to have their own net neutrality laws, so...
Yeah, so California's thing is okay.
Yeah.
It's like states' rights do exist for this stuff.
Unfortunately, when it comes to shit like this, you kind of have to do it state by state.
Yeah, and... But at least it seems like it's also put into the Mozilla, their CEO, was talking about, like, this isn't over, but, you know, we got to work on what's next for this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it basically means that, you know, that whole thing about states' rights was kind of now upheld.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of
the Republicans.
Yeah. And that doofus agit pie.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his giant fucking Reese's cup mug.
Yeah.
Anyway, next up. Facebook has decided that they're going to allow political ads to be exempt from policy that bans false claims in ads. So, which, let's be honest, if that were the case, if that wasn't the case, they wouldn't allow political ads on there to begin with, because they're almost all bullshit.
Yeah, from both sides. That's the problem.
Yeah, they had some sort of like third-party fact-checking group that would go over that stuff.
And they're like, fuck it, we can't handle this.
I'm guessing Facebook's also like, we can make more money if we pull this one policy. Sort of thing, and probably have less work to do as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I imagine the amount of videos they're going to be getting for the next couple of months for the U.S. side is going to be pretty huge.
Yeah.
And yeah.
A lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Though there are some services that are taking the opposite stance, like TikTok. It's not going to allow any political ads.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense.
But, I mean, TikTok's owned by... a Chinese company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just parse that for a moment.
Ooh.
A Chinese company with an authoritarian government has more integrity than an American company.
Yeah, what they say here is any paid ads that come into the community need to fit the standards for our platform, and the nature of paid political ads is not something we believe fits the TikTok platform experience.
Yeah, no shit.
It's like, all right, politicians, now you just got to do dumb TikTok videos. That's how you get your ads out there.
I'm sorry, but the old politicians are not going to do that.
Well, their aides will tell them to do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see.
Which only applies to, like, a couple of people on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right. Speaking of Facebook,
I love
we now know. Yeah, we now know that Mark Zuckerberg is deathly afraid of Elizabeth Warren becoming president.
Yeah.
Which basically means you should elect Elizabeth Warren as president.
It's like, do these people not realize that these aren't saying anything against them? You're actively advertising for them?
Yeah.
When rich people are complaining about these candidates. But you'll
notice almost all of them are focusing on Warren. Mm-hmm. You notice who they're ignoring?
Bernie.
Yeah, and the reason is because they think Warren has a better chance of getting elected or nominated at the very least. I think they might be in for a surprise coming next year, but yeah. So this should basically
Bernie's
tell
out for a bit because he has his
He had his stent, but yeah, he's out of the hospital now. But anyway,
yeah.
Point is, they're doing something right. Because all of the bourgeois parasites that you can think of are coming out of the woodwork and screaming how terrified they are of a lukewarm, milk-dose social democrat like Liz Warren coming in and becoming president.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to make things better for people that are not billionaires.
Hmm.
Everybody's like, oh, shit, we can't – we got to get Biden, I guess. I don't know who the candidate, Democratic candidate for billionaires is.
It's Biden or Harris.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to point out, though, that this, like, leak stuff that came out is, it's really interesting in the sense that this kind of stuff has not actually ever come out, surfaced before.
Yeah.
So it kind of shows that even people working under Mark Zuckerberg are getting sick of his shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like the specific word he says for how this would affect him, he said it would suck.
Mm-hmm.
So you know he is a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this it's like, if you guys want to stop advertising for the people you hate, it means you should probably stop talking about them at all.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is encouraging everybody else that isn't stupidly rich.
Mm.
But I also saw him saying something recently like, yeah, billionaires don't really need to exist. Oh, I was like, that's a weirdly
thing to say about yourself.
I think he's kind of echoing Bernie, who actually did publicly say billionaires are a thing that should not exist.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
So what's your excuse?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the whole thing for that was, but it seemed very like weirdly self-aware.
Hmm. Yeah. Here's the thing. I realized somebody pointed this out to me. If the United States actually like went with like Bernie or Warren's tax plan where they tax the top 1% at like, what is it? Like 40-45%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos could basically pay in taxes enough money to feed pretty much everyone in the Western world twice over every day for like 10 years. And he would still be the richest man in the world.
Yeah. Cause he would still get, you know, all the interest and all that on the money he has.
Yeah.
Along the way. So that would
Do you realize how fucking insane that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get all the companies as well to pay the taxes they need to pay.
Yeah.
All that, and you can fund any programs that you want funded easily.
Yeah.
We could help put a dent to the deficit and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. People want to complain, like, the Republicans want to complain about the deficits. Like, first off, you created the deficit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't nearly as big as it was when Trump took office and said he was going to get rid of it. And it's like, no, you got to do everything the opposite of what Trump's doing, basically.
Yeah. Well,
which is what the Democrats are trying to campaign on, the opposite of Trump.
Yeah.
Some of them are doing better than others, but they're all at least in the right direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, next up, everyone remembers back when the Las Vegas shooting happened. It still is the deadliest mass shooting in American history.
Yeah. 2 years this week.
Yep, 2 years this week. It killed dozens of people and the number injured was in the triple digits.
It's like about 500 people.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous number.
And it was announced this week that MGM Resorts will be paying up to $800 million in settlements for the Las Vegas shooting.
Yep. And up to $800 million to settle thousands of liability claims stemming from 2017 mass shooting in Las Vegas. So that's a good chunk of change. If that involves every single person that was involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like about $1 million each.
Yeah.
Besides what lawyers will get.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's about... Okay, so you said the number injured was like 500.
It would have been like 500, say 58 killed and about 500, I think, injured.
Yeah, so that's 558 people. So after what the lawyers get, that's roughly about 900 something thousand dollars each after, you know, the lawyers get their cut.
So it says here, the lawyer who led this lawsuit was representing nearly 2,500 people.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah,
it's, so it's
whole,
more
it's
like 500,000, which is still a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, it would help at least with financial stuff relating to it, especially for the people directly affected by it.
Yeah,
versus those just that were in the area getting shot at.
Yeah. Next up.
And that's just from MGM, too.
Mm-hmm.
I assume there are other companies involved in this stuff. Right. Probably like whoever's running the concert.
Yeah.
Might be involved, and I don't know who else, but yeah.
Yeah. So next up, story from the House of Representatives. Former GOP rep Chris Collins. By the way, he became former GOP this week because he actually resigned this week.
Yep. Yeah, he resigned hours before doing this.
Yeah, hours before pleading guilty to insider trading charges.
Yeah, because he is what was it? He was, I forget what company it was. He was on the board there or something like that. Learned about the failed drug trials. Texted his son to sell his stock, and they both did, to avoid more than $768,000 in losses. initially pled not guilty to this when it was first charged in 2018.
Yeah.
Now he faces up to 5 years in prison on each count, along with 3 years of supervised release, as well as $250,000 in fines on each count, and will be sentenced in January 2020.
Mm.
And his son is also guilty of this, but not really mentioned in this article, I don't think. But yeah, his son, Cameron Collins. So keeping up that CC thing, I guess.
Mm. All right.
But yeah, somebody taking advantage of their position to try to legally avoid losing money.
So next up, people might remember last week we talked about Mattel coming out with their new line of gender-neutral dolls, which were all fine, but some people, of course, had to have little
pissy
pant parties and be little bitchy bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this week, Mattel debuted their first official set of Uno cards entirely in Braille, which is something I'm actually surprised did not exist until now.
Yep. Yeah, so the way they're set up, they have the Braille bumps on the top right side, I think it is.
Yeah.
And as well as just like the rest of the cards designed like they normally are.
Mm-hmm.
So people that are blind or have issues with their sights and no Braille can sort of play with people that have no issues.
Yeah. Needless to say, I am very much in favor of this.
And, see, this is it. Because, see, here's the thing. When you're talking about, you know, because Uno is mostly just numbered cards.
Right.
And,
numbered and colored cards.
Numbered and colored, which, you know, really isn't that much effort of just putting the Braille bumps on there because, again, you're just talking number and color.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was just a result of the National Federation of the Blind kind of contacting Mattel and talking about doing this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they also have downloadable instructions to play the game on unobraille.com featuring .brf, which is the Braille readable files, or utilize voice-enabled instructions through Amazon Alexa and Google Home if you need that as well.
Yep.
So yeah, some good alternate ways of getting the instructions just in case you need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's going to be out on the 6th, so next week. You can find it in Target stores.
Yep. All right. Next up, Microsoft held an event for their Surface line this week, and that line includes a dual-screen phone.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is it's not Windows.
Nope, it's Android.
Oh.
And it's called Surface Duo. It has two 5.6-inch screens that provide a total of 8.3 inches of space for your multitasking or thumb typing needs or whatever.
Hmm.
I can fold 360 degrees to help you take a phone call, too. It has a Snapdragon 855 processor in there.
Yep.
Yeah. Though it's not coming out until holiday 2020, so it says they might upgrade that at some point.
Yeah, they probably will by the time it gets around to being released. But yeah. They also announced that Surface Neo, which was basically a bigger version of that, that does run Windows.
Yeah, and that's kind of a tablet.
Yeah.
Like tablets.
Windows 10 laptop. X, because, yeah.
They can let you know you got the cool Windows operating system now.
Because it's got an X.
I should have called it 10XX.
Hmm.
As in, like, when games would have, like, all in the future in 20XX.
Yeah, 10XX, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Maybe it'll be the next upgrade.
Hmm.
Yeah, it has, what, 2 9-inch screens that combine into a 13-inch area. You type a long message. There's a compact wirelessly charging keyboard. Turns the Neo into a laptop. It uses Intel's Lakefield processor.
Yeah.
The first device for that, I guess.
Hmm.
And that's out holiday 2020. They'll send out 10X, Windows 10X. It's an operating system built for dual-screen PCs like the Surface Neo. More efficient than standard Windows, supports an interface optimized for dual screens. Includes more elegant app placement and more touch-friendly start menu. That'll be out fall 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that laptop just looks like if Nintendo made a $1,000 DS.
Kind of.
Like it's dual screens in that same kind of way.
Yeah.
But yeah. Not with like incredibly tiny screens because it has to be cheap as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. The Neo, it's like I'm not really sure who it's for. I don't even think Microsoft knows who it's for. They just know they can make it, so they're going to do that.
Yeah.
But the phone, the Duo, yeah, I see a lot of people like on Twitter who are going, please take my money right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if it avoids the issues that the Samsung phone has.
Yeah, like breaking.
Yeah. Let's see. They also announced earbuds, Surface earbuds, because of course they did.
For some reason.
Let's see. They charge in a portable case. They have touch controls that enable native Spotify control and Office 365 tie-ins. Why is Office 365 tied into this?
I don't know.
So you can listen to the spreadsheets. It can automatically caption what you're saying in a PowerPoint presentation or help you check Outlook email. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But who's using Outlook?
People in offices?
Still Wait a minute. There? Okay, so bring up that Jacob Wohl press conference. The email address they used for the Berkman guy uses mm-hmm. Outlook.
Yeah.
So. I just remember that. It's like that kind of person uses Outlook.
Mm.
That's this holiday season for $259 for those buds.
Hmm.
And it just looks like a circle.
Yeah, they're like the Apple AirPods.
It's like it's like a quarter you stick into your ear.
Yeah,
I guess. Let's see, there's Surface Pro X, which is their tablet laptop.
Hmm.
That's just one screen.
Yep.
13-inch Snapdragon. Let's see, 0.2 inches thin, 1.68 pounds. So yeah, it has LTE connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
$1,000 out November 5th. Their Surface Pro 7, which is their like mid-tier, I guess, $749, October 22nd.
Yeah, it's basically the same
13 hours of battery life.
Older one, just up
there. Yeah. Then there's Surface Laptop 3, which is their super expensive, I guess.
Yep.
It's like $1,000, October 22nd, 13.5 inch for $1,200.
Yeah.
Or no, 13.5 is the regular... 1200 is the bigger one. Mm. Okay.
And you actually can get it without Alcantara if you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has a 10th gen Intel Ice Lake core processor.
Mm.
Okay.
So that's where those are going.
Yep.
And far field microphones to aid voice recognition. Microsoft, stop with the voice recognition stuff. Nobody uses that in Windows. I only use that button to type stuff into it to search.
Mm.
But now they just moved it next to it, so. I don't have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the phone stuff looks neat.
Yeah, I like the phone.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's like when one phone doesn't work, isn't enough for you. Now you got two phones.
Yep. Fun for the whole fucking family.
If you could somehow work it to run Pokemon Go twice.
Oh, God.
For once. Teresa would be like, all right, we're on board.
Yep.
Well, one of the people that I follow was saying, great, now I can have Pokemon Go and Harry Potter Wizards Unite running at the same time.
Okay. Just get all those games. Yeah. Like there's a Garfield one. There's probably Ghostbusters one.
Oh, God. You know that guy from who's like in – I can't remember if he's in New York who like the reason he does so good at Pokemon Go is because he plays the thing with like a dozen phones attached to like his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, imagine what he can do now with this shit.
Yeah, now he's got twice the output.
Yeah. Fuck me. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, I think everybody now knows that Disney's getting ready to launch their Disney Plus streaming service.
Yep.
And so that's happening. Because of that, they are now banning all of Netflix's shit from their networks, with the exception of ESPN.
Yeah, because ESPN does not do, or Netflix doesn't do live sports, really.
Right.
So they don't really consider that a competitor, but yeah, they're not allowing Netflix on there. This is coming at the same time that like Warner and NBC is going to be doing lots of advertising for their streaming services. So those seem to be okay, I guess. Because I think they say later on here, like, yeah, we have relationships with those companies, so we're not going to block them completely. But Netflix doesn't really provide us anything anymore.
No. And I think, to be fair, I don't think this hurts Netflix very much because as far as streaming services go, they're the one that actually doesn't need to advertise anymore. I think everybody pretty much knows who Netflix is.
So ABC tends to have some of the bigger events like the Academy Awards and the Super Bowl and stuff like that. But I think they've said also they might be willing to let them advertise on the Oscars as long as it's for a film, not the service.
Mm. Well, they do have The Irishman coming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is the irony because they advertised The Irishman during the Oscars. It just happened and then announced we're not allowing Netflix ads on here anymore.
Whoops.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, okay. I guess they got the one added.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of the weird side effect of Disney owning so much shit.
Yeah.
Is that
we can start this is actually
bigger than it seems like because
yeah.
They got the various Disney show, the Disney channels, all the flavors of ESPN, ABC, and a bunch of other stuff, Fox and all that. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they have under their control. But yeah, this is what Netflix is going to have to deal with it because Disney's going to use their platforms to advertise themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else that's tangentially related to that?
All right. And next up, you knew it was coming. We know that a Stranger Things 4 is coming.
Yep.
And also that Netflix has signed a deal with the Duffer Brothers so that they can do some new films and shows outside of Stranger Things. So.
Yeah, so they haven't announced this the final one, so I think they might be doing one more season. The Duffer Brothers have said that they have a finite end for this show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for now it seems like 4 is at least going to be the next to last, at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the teaser they had kind of suggests like they're not in Hawkins anywhere, which if you've seen Stranger Things 3, you know that there's some things that happen with some characters that means they're not going to be at least in close proximity to the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily so much that they won't be in the show or anything, but it'll have a possibility for things to happen outside of the town.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what new stuff they have in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Now they get to do something else besides Stranger Things.
Yep.
So that's smart move on Netflix to lock them down somehow, not until now.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I figure after like the first or second season, be like, all right, you're working with us. But I guess the whole spate of signing creators to exclusivity deals didn't really happen until the past year or so.
Yeah, until everybody else started doing it.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think they're working on much besides Stranger Things.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, All right. Next up, after that, we also got a trailer for the upcoming Netflix / Michael Bay movie, Six Underground. It is exactly what you fucking think it is.
Yep. It's also has Ryan Reynolds in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Deadpool is in it.
Yeah.
It's honestly, this is kind of a Michael Bay movie that doesn't offend my sensibilities. So yeah.
And also, you're not going to have to pay like a movie ticket to go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just pull it up, spend like 2 hours of your life watching it, and move on.
Yeah. Just make some popcorn, enjoy it. Hey, it might be good.
Yeah. You don't have to leave your house to see the schlock.
Mm.
That's to the benefit of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it might end up being good. Who knows?
Mm. Yeah. Just saw somebody in the comments here being like, yep, there's explosions, American flag explosions. Yeah, here it is. Military explosions, pretty trophy lady, American flag explosions, close-up shot explosions, quips during action scenes explosions, slow-mo shots explosions. Yep, this is a Michael Bay movie, all right.
Yep. All the boxes checked.
And all another right. one's audience, all Michael Bay does is blow stuff up. Got anything new? Michael Bay, add Ryan Reynolds? Audience, yeah, that'll work.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, last story of the night, we got a trailer for Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Yeah, which looks weird.
It does look weird. And then, like, the first half of the trailer, I'm like, is this an Inception trailer? What's going on here?
Yeah. And it's also like, I have no context for what anything is happening here.
Yeah, me neither.
Makes it look like, and they kind of joke at the end that it's just a Harley Quinn movie, not a Birds of Prey movie.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which,
credits wise, it probably is, but at the end, they're like, oh, yeah, it's, I'm trying to look what it is, what it says here, but it's like Birds of Prey and the incredibly, whatever, some like jokey title.
Mm-hmm.
So it has, and it's like, oh, it's Birds of Prey and, yeah, here it is. Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. It's like the weird joke title card they show. I was like, all right, sure. She's at least good in that role.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see some more of that. That's February 7th, so we still got 4 months.
Yeah.
Till we get trailers that actually show us some context for what's going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we got ourselves a show tonight, folks.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, prepare yourself for next week because we're going to have even more bullshit to talk about. All right. So, with that, I would like to remind
As the conclusion of House of X, Powers of 10.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that. Oh, boy. Anyway, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of insanity at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of popular podcast aggregator that you can think of. And with that, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Lindland, and Chris Logie. Good night. God damn it, I want this shit to be over.